Genesis chapter 41, verse 28. This is the thing which I have spoken on to Pharaoh, what God is about to do, he showeth on to Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty through all the land of Egypt, and there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land, and the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason that the famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seventh plenteous years, and let them gather all the food of those years that come and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store to the land against 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perished not through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such as one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, forasmuch as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according to thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. Amen. We know God will add his blessing to the reading of his word. A wonderful chapter there, and so many wonderful things that we'll go through in the next number of weeks and months to keep us feasting on in this life of Joseph. But the end, the words at the end of verse 38, a man in whom the Spirit of God is, these words were spoken by King Pharaoh of Egypt. And what makes these words remarkable is that they are in response to Joseph's instruction concerning the wise and discreet man who must be chosen to rule over the land of Egypt in preparing the people for the coming famine. Joseph, in giving God's answer of peace to Pharaoh, if you remember, who was troubled and anxious in soul concerning the famine that was coming, was then instructed by Joseph in verse 33 to look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over all the land of Egypt. That word look, or the phrase look out, it means to see, to choose, select, and provide. The idea of the word is to choose, to look for the best man, the one who can perform and carry out God's message to save a people from perishing in the famine. Pharaoh is to select, provide a man from his own kingdom to rule over his own kingdom. And that man, as stated, must be discreet and he must be wise. These two qualities, they must go together. The word discreet, it means discernment. It means understanding. It means knowledge. Whereas the word wise means wisdom. And so the man chosen must be a man of discreet, discernment, understanding and knowledge, but also of wisdom. Discernment, understanding is the knowledge of what needs to be done, of what needs to be carried out, what needs to be acted upon. Whereas wisdom is the application of knowledge and understanding. Wisdom is doing what needs to be done. Wisdom is knowledge and understanding in action. Let me illustrate this. When our boys were younger, As most parents do, you teach your children how to cross the road when they begin to walk back and forth from school. And of course, the road they used to walk on from school was a dangerous road, narrow road, and cars would fly very, very fast down those roads. So we would teach them to use the traffic lights, and that would make good sense. And so we give them the knowledge, the understanding. The traffic lights are there for a reason. And so what you do, you go up to the traffic light, you stop at the lights, you press the wee button, you wait till the red light, the cars stop, and when the wee green man comes on, then you walk across the road and you are safe. And so knowledge and understanding is they know what they need to do to cross the road. But the wisdom is in actually doing that, pressing that button, waiting, and then going across the road. The reason I say that, because when we used to drive them to school in the morning, or coming back, if I picked them up, you would get these young group of young ones from school. And what they would do, they would all be lined up in a group, maybe six or seven, and they'd be standing at the edge of the road. And these cars would just be flying up and down the road. And they would wait for a wee break on the road where there's no car, and they'd all just run right across. And sometimes they were caught out, and the car would come back, and what they'd have to do, someone would have to jump back, and others would run across. And the thing I used to say when we did that, when we seen that, I used to say to our boys, do you see that? And right beside them, there's a traffic light right beside them. I said, there's knowledge, there's understanding what they need to do, but there's no wisdom in doing what needs to be done. And instead of just going and pressing the button and waiting to cross the road safely, they're just rushing across the road with that traffic and putting themselves in danger. And so those children, they understood what they needed to do, and they had knowledge what they should do, but they lacked wisdom. They acted unwisely. And the point I'm saying is this here. That is the kind of person and action that Pharaoh is to avoid. Pharaoh must provide, select a man who demonstrates these qualities of discernment and wisdom. Because to have a man with discernment, a man who knows what must be done for this famine that's coming, but yet act unwisely, misjudge, misuse, and miscalculate time and provisions, and to be unprepared, is to fail in the day when the famine comes. It is to perish. And so both discernment and wisdom are needed. Joseph's message was from God. And the message is, you must choose a man who's discreet, a man of understanding, a man of knowledge, a man who is wise, a man that's wisdom, a man who knows what must be done, and a man who will do what needs to be done in this time of famine to save the people. And so, in answer to these requirements and these qualities, Pharaoh states in verse 38, he said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man whom Joseph has just told us about, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And those words are interesting, because Pharaoh links this very description of the discreet and wise man to one in whom the Spirit of God is upon. And he links that to Joseph. Pharaoh couldn't provide a man from his own kingdom. There was none good enough, wise enough, even from his own counselors. And remember, Pharaoh had the best counselors of his time. He had the men of Egypt who were skilled in great knowledge. But none of them were discreet men. None of them were wise men. None of them could meet these requirements to save the people from perishing. Pharaoh could only see one man who was suited to rule over the land of Egypt. And that man was Joseph. Joseph is the chosen one. Joseph is the provided one. He is the one set apart because the Spirit of God rests upon him. And we can see how God has brought everything together. All eyes are now upon Joseph, as later we'll find one of his, the new name that Pharaoh gives Joseph, One of the meanings of that name is Savior of the world. And so we see how God has placed Joseph for such a time that he is looked upon by Pharaoh as the Savior of the world, the only one qualified, suited to save the people from perishing. Pharaoh sees Joseph as the provider and the provision for those in need. One who knows all that is required to save and preserve the people from perishing in the famine, and one who will do what needs to be done. Pharaoh knows through Joseph the nations will be blessed surrounding Egypt, and he knows through Joseph Egypt will be blessed. And what a picture we have of Joseph that points to the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Lord Jesus Christ is the supreme man who is discreet, and the supreme one who is wise. Even King Solomon in the Bible, who is described as a wise man, and people came from all over to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Yet the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 12, verse 42, behold, referring to Jesus Christ, behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Christ's knowledge, understanding and wisdom cannot be equaled or compared to. And again, just to taste your taste buds, we'll be looking at that as well in our Bible study sometime when we come to the incomparability of God. None can be compared to him, but we'll get that on another occasion. But Christ is far above all. His wisdom is eternal, infinite, and unchanging. You see, through the fall of man into sin, there was left a famine in the soul of men and women. There is a barrenness, an emptiness, a drought, a void to the things of God. The understanding due to sin is darkened. The entrance of sin into the world, breaking God's law, has set off the alarm. The penalty for sin, which is death, is sounding forth. Judgment for sin is ringing loud against every sinner, men and women, who dwell under the wrath and anger of God. The law cries out for your damnation. The alarm has been set off. There is a day of wrath, a day of judgment, eternal torment, wailing that will be unbearable, tormenting, of wailing and gnashing of teeth for all who reject Christ as Savior. The day has been established. The day has been appointed. There is a day when God will judge the world by that man, Christ Jesus. However, God in mercy has selected, chosen, and provided a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, a discreet man, one who has infinite knowledge and understanding, one who knew what needed to be done in order that guilty men and women would be pardoned by God, to be saved from the wrath of God. Because Christ knows the plan of salvation, he came into this world as the Savior, the mediator, the only mediator between God and men. In other words, we could say, Christ is salvation. He is the way to heaven. He understood what needed to be done to honor God's law. But furthermore, Christ did what was needed to be done to honor God, to satisfy his divine justice, to extinguish his wrath. He alone saves from wrath. He alone is the sinner's provision and sinner's provider. There is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ was sent into this world to teach sinners the way back to God from sin. He alone, by his life and by his death, has opened up that way back into the presence of God by the sacrifice of himself. And so Pharaoh, as he looks upon what Joseph has said, in order to save the people, he must choose a wise man. He must choose a man of discreetness, knowledge, and understanding. And so we think of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the chosen man. He's the one with all knowledge, with all understanding. He is the one who is the wisdom of God. And he came and he knew what needed to be done for sinners to be saved. And he did what was needed to be done for sinners to be saved. And upon examination, both Joseph and the Lord Jesus were men who were anointed and fulfilled their roles by the Spirit of God. Pharaoh describes Joseph, this wise and discreet man, as a man in whom the Spirit of God is. And so our Lord Jesus is described in Luke chapter 4, verse 1, Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost. And therefore, believer, the Bible teaches us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, that we are to be filled with the Spirit. Your life, my life, our families, this church ministry, its attenders, its members, its pastor, its office bearers, its preaching, its prayers, its praises, its practices, its pursuits and programs must all have the Spirit of God resting upon it. If we are to do anything for God, it must be in the demonstration and in the power of the Holy Ghost. Can it be said of your life? Can it be said of my life? There is a man, there is a woman in whom the Spirit of God is. Is this ministry set apart from other ministries as a ministry full of the Holy Ghost? Because the Holy Ghost's ministry is to point to the Savior. And so a Holy Ghost ministry, a ministry where the Spirit of God dwells upon, is one that will always point to the Savior. And therefore, we point believers to the Savior. And the Holy Spirit points believers to the Savior for them to grow in grace. And he points sinners to the Savior as the only way to be saved. May the Pharaohs in London see all others surrounding them as having no answer of peace for their troubled soul, but look and see a difference in our lives, real spiritual power, and above all, see Christ through our lives and come to the Lord Jesus Christ and to be delivered from the wrath of God that awaits every unprepared and condemned sinner. Joseph, a man in whom the Spirit of God is. Notice first of all, Joseph's Spirit-filled wisdom. The very fact that Pharaoh told his counselors his dream, and not one of them could give him the answer, the meaning, or the message, what it all meant, but yet Joseph was given that same information, and he could give the interpretation of that dream, what it meant, and its message, what must be done. Therefore, Pharaoh sees in Joseph a wise man, a discreet man, and he links that to one who has the Spirit of God dwelling upon him, one who is full of the Spirit of wisdom. Joseph is a man in touch with God. As the messenger of God, he is full of the Holy Spirit. Joseph communicated God's message, what God is about to do. He told what the Lord has established, and what God has established, what God has decreed, it will come to pass. Joseph wasn't telling Pharaoh, I think this might happen, or we better get prepared for a worst case scenario. He was telling him, Pharaoh, here's what God is about to do. And what God is about to do, it will come to pass. You must prepare or perish. You must set a man, choose a man who is wise, a man who is discreet, a man who knows what must be done and will do it to save the people from perishing. And so Pharaoh, as he looks in Joseph, he saw something in Joseph that he did not see in anybody else. He saw something in Joseph that he did not see in his own counselors. And there's a clear message of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the messenger of God, the messenger and the message of the everlasting covenant of grace. for Jesus Christ. He came into this world and he preached the message of God. And as he preached the message of God, the Spirit of God was upon him. Christ came and he delivered the word and the will of God. And as he did so, people saw in him as the Savior. He was asked questions and he answered those questions by the word. When Christ came into this world, he preached what God will bring to pass. He taught what God has planned to do. His whole life, from his birth to death, was full of the Spirit of God. We learn as well, don't we, in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, the Lord said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." When the Lord Jesus was at the age of 12, in Luke chapter 2, verses 46 to 47, he was sitting in the midst of doctors, and both hearing them and answering their questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Again, in answering questions, John chapter 7, verse 16, when Jesus answered them, he said, "My doctrine is not mine, but him that sent me." Upon hearing that doctrine, John chapter 7, verse 46, the people said, the officers answered, "Never man spake like this man." You read through Christ's sermons in the Gospels. You read Matthew chapter 5 through 7, chapter 10, 13, 18, 24 and 25. You read his miracles, you read his parables, and you see Christ telling what God is about to do, what God will do with those who despise and reject him. That's why he said in Luke chapter 13, verses 3 to 5, "I tell you nay, but except ye repent," that's turning away from your sin, "ye shall all likewise perish." Jesus Christ, he is the wisdom of God. John chapter 3, verse 34 teaches God, whom God has sent, speaketh the words of God. "For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him." And that word, basically, what it's saying there is that his infilling of the Spirit of God was permanent. He was continually filled. The Spirit continually rested upon him for service. John chapter 1, verse 32 to 33 speaks of the Spirit descending and remaining on him. And therefore, believer, since we are indwelt and continually infilled by the Spirit of God, we have the mind of the Spirit to know the Word of God, to speak of Christ. Therefore, the greatest words of wisdom that you will ever memorize, share, or quote is not the words of men, rather the Word of God. And therefore, I encourage you, dwell in the Word of God and let the Word of God dwell in you. May your life be continually a river that flows with the Word of God. This church, this city, this country need men and women filled with the Spirit of God to give counsel and to lead. Yea, the king of this land, he needs a man of God to give the message. King, here's what God is about to do and what God has established. I tell you this, the throne room of England needs the gospel just as much as the man, woman across the street. Because the message is the same. Here's what God is about to do, and what God is about to do will come to pass. Therefore, prepare or perish. And you pray that God will raise up such in our land. Men of God, preachers, who God will somehow, and I don't know, I pray this, I don't know how, but somehow God will intervene and cause the king or some royal to get in contact with a true believer. Not this wishy-washy nonsense that they have now, but actually a true believer who'll be able to point them in the ways of God. You see, God has placed Joseph before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh has this message. He doesn't know what to do with it. But there's a man who's wise, a man who's discreet, a man who's set apart. And he says to Pharaoh, here's what God has said, and this is what you must do. And yea, the king of this land needs a man before him to say, here's what God has said, this is what you must do. And so we all need it in our own life. And Pharaoh, as he looks upon Joseph, he sees no one else but Joseph. And therefore pray that end, that men and women here in London will see none other but the Lord Jesus Christ, and see him as their only saviour, their only provider. Joseph's spirit-filled wisdom. Notice secondly, Joseph's spirit-filled walk. When Joseph explained to Pharaoh the work that needed to be involved in making preparation for the famine, there was specific, clear instructions. Joseph didn't leave Pharaoh to fill up the gaps. Joseph didn't say, by the way, I have a message from God. There's a famine coming, and tell you what, you do what you think you need to do and get back to me. No, he gave these instructions at this work, and we'll go into those instructions in greater detail over the next number of weeks, but this work must be carried out by a discreet and wise man who has set over the land of Egypt. And since Pharaoh knew there was none within his kingdom who met these qualities, Joseph was chosen and selected because he was the best. He was the only one who had the ability and the authority to save from perishing in the famine. The Spirit of God was working in Joseph, through Joseph, and by Joseph. The Spirit of God rested upon him. And therefore, the Spirit of God moved among him as he did this work. When it came to doing this work in Egypt, none others could do it, but only Joseph. Pharaoh recognized that. He, even when he said to his servants, can we find such a man? They realized themselves, there's no one else. Only Joseph was that man who could rule over Egypt and save the people. And so when it comes to the plan of God and salvation, there's none other that can save your soul. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one who can deliver sinners from the wrath of God, because he's the only one chosen. He's the only one provided. He's the only one who God has given to save from wrath to come. The Lord Jesus Christ has all authority and all ability to do the work of God, because Acts chapter 10, verse 38 says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Christ was the discreet and wise man in whom the Spirit of God is. Christ is the chosen one, chosen from among the people, selected to be the Savior of sinners. Christ is the best that God could give, the perfect one that God could give to fallen sinners. There was none other suited, none other qualified to do what needed to be done to satisfy God's justice and to save sinners from their sin. Joseph was the only provider, provision, and protection from the famine. Joseph's work was limited for a time, though the benefits of his work reached to the first coming of Christ, because Christ came through the line of Judah as it was spared during these times. But Christ is the only provider, provision, and protection from the wrath of God. His work is for not only just time, but for all eternity. And the benefits of his work, of his redeeming work, are for all eternity, everlasting. And so, child of God, as we make application to our own life, you too have been selected and chosen by God in service. May the work of God through your life be used mightily for the glory of and the furtherance of the gospel. As you seek to invest in the lives of others, keep seeking to have a fruitful ministry. May heaven be populated by the fruit of your labor, souls who act upon your wise counsel as you give them the word of God. You have a work to do for God, whether it's among the boys and girls, among the adults, among the streets, whatever it may be. But that work must be carried out by the power of the Spirit of God. You must be that believer, that Sunday school teacher, that worker, that office bearer, whoever it may be, one that has a work to do where the Spirit of God rests upon. Parents, keep investing God's word into your family. Keep giving the word of God to those in need, because you have the message of God. It's been entrusted to you. Therefore, may others see you as the one of wisdom and understanding, as the one who can lead people the right way. Joseph was able to lead the nation the right way. Joseph was able to tell them how to make preparation for the coming famine. An unbeliever, you've been taught what needs to be done. Will you do today what needs to be done to have sins forgiven? And that is, call upon the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Notice finally, and briefly, just in a sentence, Joseph's Spirit-filled worth. We'll continue this really on a next time. But it's interesting to think, and just a thought in closing, that it was the Spirit of God who caused Pharaoh to see in Joseph all he needed. Pharaoh seen in Joseph one worthy to rule. Pharaoh seen in Joseph one who was supreme above everyone else. He could look at his own. Remember, he's the search out of man. Remember, he said that word means to look out, to select one. And as he views his own kingdom, he knows there's no one else here. There's no one else can fit and meet these requirements. But there's only one. And that one has the Spirit of God resting upon him. He is different from everyone else. He saw Joseph one worthy to rule. And so it's the Spirit's ministry to cause sinners in salvation and believers in service to see Christ as worthy. All you need, child of God, is found in the Lord Jesus Christ to live godly. And sinner, all you need for salvation, to have all your sins forgiven, not just some sins, but all your sin, to have it all forgiven, is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I tell you this here, I could preach till my face is blue, but until the Spirit of God moves in your heart and you see Christ as the one worthy to save you, only then will you be saved. Only then will you come to Christ. And therefore I fear for you today who sit under the preaching of God's word week by week and still refuse so great salvation. Because God has said in his word, my Spirit shall not always strive with man. There's a time when God will stop speaking by his Spirit to your heart. And therefore you must come this day as opportunity is given to you to get right with God, as the Spirit causes you to see Jesus Christ, one who is worthy, one who has done all that's needed to be done to save your soul. There's none other Savior. There's no other Redeemer. There's only the Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph is a man in whom the Spirit of God is. And therefore we pray our lives will be those marked out by the Spirit of God resting upon us. For his name, amen.